WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Portland Trail Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups is among those charged in an illegal poker operation tied to the mafia, while Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier is among several people charged in a separate but related illegal gambling case. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Terry Rozier, right foot discomfort, doubtful to return.
Prosecutors say during this game in March 2023, Rozier, then with the Charlotte Hornets, tipped off bettors that he would fake an injury and come out of the game to enable them to place fraudulent wagers on him underperforming, the winnings totaling more than $200,000.
More than 30 people charged. Based on satellite images, it appears that the entire White House East Wing has now been demolished so President Trump can proceed with building his $300 million ballroom. President Trump says he doesn't know why he pardoned Binance co-founder Jiang Zhiping Zhao today, who pleaded guilty in 2023 to a money laundering charge. This is ABC News. Tragedy for an Illinois state senator running to be the next governor of Illinois.
State Senator Darren Bailey lost to J.B. Pritzker in the 2022 Illinois governor's race, but he's running for the Republican nomination again next year. On Wednesday night, he found out that four members of his family, his son, daughter-in-law, and two of his grandchildren, died in a Montana helicopter crash. J.B. Pritzker asked about it at a news conference in Chicago.
This is not a time for politics. It's just a time to recognize that losing a child is, one of the hardest things ever.
Bailey's third child, a 10-year-old boy, was not in the helicopter at the time of the crash. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The woman charged with abandoning her newborn baby in a subway station in New York appeared in court today, where she was granted supervised release. She told investigators she gave birth just hours before she left the baby at the bottom of a staircase. The baby girl was found during Monday morning's rush hour. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Will Watson return? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson has been rehabbing after suffering a torn ACL at the end of last season. Will this be the week Watson returns?
My goal and my plan is to play this week. I'd say I could have played last week too, to be honest, but obviously just got to make sure I'm hearing everybody's opinions on everything and just being as smart as possible about it.
The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. NBA, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 37 points, the most in his career on an opening night, in a 133-120 victory over the Washington Wizards, but guard Kevin Porter Jr. undergoing an MRI for a severely sprained left ankle. How is he doing early in the game?
Just his defensive pressure, couple steals, deflections, and then just his half-court defense, him and our whole group, led to us a ton of runouts. It might have been the most advanced passes we've had.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's a new comedy biopic that should interest many Wisconsinites. A Chris Farley story has been sold as a pitch to New Line Cinema, who will also distribute the film. Farley will be played by Paul Walter Hauser, who was most recently seen in The Naked Gun and The Fantastic Four First Steps before that. He can be seen this weekend in Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. And now he will play the iconic Farley. Hauser is also at the point where he can have some influence with the director, the extremely busy and in demand Josh Gad. Variety is reporting that Hauser is lobbying for Sam Rockwell to play the part of Saturday Night Live executive producer and creator Lorne Michaels. While appearing at the premiere of Deliver Me From Nowhere, Hauser pleaded directly to Rockwell to take the role, saying, "Sam, please, be in my Chris Farley movie. You love being around me when I do my Farley impression anyway, so I'll do Matt Foley all day to make you laugh. It'll be fun." Rockwell and Hauser appeared together in Clint Eastwood's Richard Jewell in 2019. Sounds like a fun flick. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and frosty tonight with a low in the upper 20s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, warmer day, high in the mid-50s. Some slight rain chances this weekend. A continued warming trend, highs in the upper 50s to maybe 60. Right now it's 38.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with new candidate for the Wisconsin governorship, Missy Hughes, former head of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and former executive with Organic Farms. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, today's show, we're going to have Johnny R. He's an Ojibwe comedian from Red Lake Nation, and we can't wait to talk to him. Upcoming things, and I kind of want to do This Is Your Life, too. I'd really like to know how he got started and talk about what he's doing now and talk about a big show that's coming up at the Mall of America. Hey, and then later on, we're going to have Wendy Pilot, who's going to be talking about our sacred animals and talking about some good things to remind us about our relatives. Before I get Johnny on, I want to talk a little bit, just real quick, and remind people that, you know, the powwow at the Native American Minneapolis Center on November 1st, and it's the adoption powwow. And I just want to let people know, because people from all over Turtle Island come to that, and you know, we're celebrating our relatives coming back, and it's always really a heartfelt powwow, and many people come. So it's at the Minneapolis Indian Center. And then a couple other things I wanted to bring up too is to remind everyone, Riani Yazzie's film is going to be at the Minneapolis Institute of Art on believe the 6th of November. And I'll be emceeing that with a Q&A in her film, Winter's Love. And then of course on the 23rd at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, they'll be showing Indian Horse at 2 p.m. Ajawak will be there, and he was the star of the movie, and he will be there for Q&A. And Smoke Signals on the 29th at 2 p.m. We're working on a couple surprises for you for that. Stay tuned. And so we're excited to promote these. And again, at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, these films are free. And it's always fun to get together with people and come together and watch these great pieces together. So just wanted to remind everyone of that, and I'll be bringing that up. And again, I'll be emceeing, so you can watch me stutter and mispronounce words and things like that. So maybe show up and take a look, and there'll be vendors there, and we're going to get some other vendors. I'm going to bring Johnny R. on right now, and I want to welcome you to Native Roots Radio. Thank you so much for coming on. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm honored.
No, I'm honored to have you. Let's talk a little bit. I want to bring this up a couple times, but let's talk about the show that's coming up. And I want to bring this up a couple times during the show. And then I want to kind of do a old-fashioned This Is Your Life and talk about how you got started and what brought you to this. So, again, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll be doing a comedy show at the House of Comedy in the Mall of America this Sunday, October 26th. It starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets are $21, which it's prices went up a little bit. I'm going to blame the tariffs in Trump. So,
right on. You're on the right show to do that. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's exciting. And you got a couple other people joining you, too.
Yeah, I got the fellow Red Laker, Trish Cook, Southsider, and also the Res reporter, Rob Fairbanks from the Leech Lake in Sisseton, I believe, also a Southsider. We were all born there and grew up there for a few years of our early lives. And it's kind of like a reunion being in Bloomington area. So we've been doing this for about, I'd say about 5 years now. We've been able to put some shows together as probably the first ever indigenous headlining group at the Mall of America. So it's kind of historic that they keep bringing us back. So we're honored to be a part of it. So
yeah, that's exciting. And I've seen a couple of your shows and I will try and make it out for that. And it's exciting and it's fun because it's a universal humor. And like we always say, native issues are human issues and human issues are native issues here on Native Roots Radio, but so is our comedy.
Yeah, it's one of the things that, you know, no matter what's going on in our communities, tragedy, you know, it's always, we end up laughing somehow because it's just way of the way we're healing. It's really, you know, a lot of people outside of the indigenous communities don't understand that, but it's part of who we are and makes us, you know, what we are. So
before we get to how you started and everything, what do you do during the week here? I see you online doing some reporting and things like that, and I really like to see your posts. So tell us what you do during your day job.
My 9-to-5 job is I work at the 105.3 WRLN Red Lake Nation Radio here in the Red Lake Nation. I've been doing that for, I think, 2.5 years now. The station has been live since February 1st, 2022. So, you know, we're in the process of moving into our new building, which should be happening within the next few weeks. And other things that I do, I'm also going back to college. I'm trying to finish up my Bachelor of Science degree in mass communications, and I'm doing a lot of media work, you know, lots of videos. I'm trying to get the which I've been doing for years. You know, I started my my business in 2006 as video production, and it just gradually snowballed into other things, comedy and podcasting and more video work. And I'm going to New York City, Brooklyn, November 13th, I believe. I'll be doing video work for Buckinaga Social Club. They're having a fashion show, and they want to do like a short documentary on their adventure in the big city. So I'll be there. That I just, you know, whatever. I also do sound and lights. I got my own DJ business on the side. I do weddings, birthdays, you know, any celebration that goes on. So I'm pretty much deep into the media business, which is something I've always wanted to do. And it just growing up in Red Lake, I didn't really have very many opportunities, you know, coming out of high school. And it just so happened to be, I stumbled upon it. I wanted to try something else, and it just presented itself to me. And again, it just snowballed into what I'm doing now. So
that's really cool to know, because as you probably know, I have an ad agency too, and we do a lot of video work. So it's good to know that you do that. And I don't know if you know this, Johnny, but I taught film and video in high school for 30 years. And so,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's really exciting to, I can see how comedy's close to video production. Yeah. In a lot of ways. Murphy's Law always comes to mind.
Yeah. The thing about that is I was doing video production. I was, me and my high school classmate, we graduated in 1994. And we always had this plan to, because he sings for Battle River, the drum group. And we've always wanted to put together like a behind the scenes type documentary, which we did in 2007. And we were able to do that, produced one. And then, getting older, responsibilities, we weren't able to get out as much as we wanted to. And I had all the video equipment at the time and nobody to really collaborate with, because everybody's doing their own thing. So comedy just came to me, something I've always wanted to do since I was a kid, but I never had the outlet, the opportunities to do it until I got into video production. And I just pushed myself to it, and learning on the go. So
wow, that's cool. Well, we'll have a lot to talk about. Hey, we are here with John Roberts, Johnny R., and he's an Ojibwe comedian from Red Lake. And Johnny, I have Bob Blake from Red Lake on once a week, too. So Red Lakers are taking over the show. I want to talk about that little business that's across the street from that new radio show, too. You guys are doing great up there and keeping things sacred up there with the cannabis. So, hey, you got time for another couple segments. This is your show, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are here with Johnny R., and we are talking about the Chenab Squad's first Indigenous act to headline at the House of Comedy this Sunday, October 26th. And geez, we're getting into some very cool conversation. Good to know. How do people get a hold of you? And because those services that you have are needed around. So give us a website or how to get a hold of you for video needs and comedy needs and all these things that you do, John.
I got my Facebook page, which is at 94 Warriors, the number 94 and Warriors. And also I have 94warriors.com, which is my website. And I'm also at 94 Warriors, at the Johnny R on Instagram. And I think it's Twitter too, or X, whatever they're calling it nowadays. But yeah, I'm pretty active on social media. too active. I to see on my phone because it shows me how long I've been on my phone, and that's like a full time job. It seems like I punch in the morning, and I got to cut myself back a little bit.
It sounds like, State Representative Heather Keeler says that sounds great. Hey, good to hear from State Representative.
And yeah, she's Johnny's coming on I have a podcast up here too, and she's going to be my guest, I think, coming up soon. So
that's awesome. She's a well-spoken person, and she's got she's just dynamite. She comes on the show every couple of weeks here on Native Roots Radio, and she is seeing that. I know my friend Arvina Martin from Madison, Wisconsin, probably isn't listening, and so I'm going to say that Heather is the best host I have when I'm not on. So thank you, Heather Keeler. Ho-wa. Hopefully she heard that. She didn't respond to that. That's cool. And so we're talking a little bit about how you got going here, and then I find out you're doing all these other great things too, and going out to Brooklyn and working your crew. And do you edit on Adobe or Adobe Premiere?
I have this program on my laptop. I've had it for about 4 years, and I still don't know what it's called. It pops up on my computer. But then the classes I'm taking over at Bemidji State now, they gave us access to all the Adobe stuff. So I'm learning Adobe. Again, it's one of the things that I've self-taught, video production, podcasting, comedy, and dabbled in acting for a little bit. It's just, whatever comes, I'm just jumping in and trying to figure stuff out all by myself. It's probably the scenic route, the way I figure things out. It takes me a while, but eventually I can get in there and I can figure it out. So,
well, with the way you do that and learn stuff, it's good for you to be able to teach people to do it too, because you've gone around, and that's kind of how I was too. I learned so much by the mistakes I made, and my students didn't have to make the same mistakes I did. But when I started editing, Johnny, it was from tape to tape, and the decks were really heavy and the cameras were really, really heavy.
But one of the things that when I first started, it was the mini DV tapes.
Yeah.
And the FireWire, and
it
was just a lengthy process. And now you just grab a little SD card and take it out, put it in, download, and you're ready to edit. Yeah, it's been quite the process the last 19 years doing this.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Drag and drop is our friend.
Yeah.
So you started comedy when?
2009. I did it on a dare to myself. Mm-hmm. There was a indigenous showcase at Bemidji State University at the American Indian Resource Center. And, a lot of Native community came out, So a lot of powwow singers and dancers and just, contemporary singers. And then I figured, I've always wanted to do comedy, so let's try it out, 2009, I was 33 years old, and I tried it. Terrible jokes. It was like the worst set, get out there. But I had like maybe two or three laughs, and that was all it took. It was just that, lit that little fire, and just to hear people laugh at what I was, laugh with me and not at me for once. So that was kind of what got me started.
What's your comedy like now? It's changed over the years. Is it political? Is it family? What do you talk about, and what tickles your fancy?
It's mostly growing up on the reservation. My family, I'm a father, married father with a huge family now. And there are things that, I dabble in like political stuff now, because now that I'm older and I have a better grasp of what's going on in the world, I usually talk about that. And I have a O.J. Simpson joke from, it goes out whatever I'm thinking about at the time. There's not really anything that I won't talk about. And sometimes it gets me in trouble. So it's the fun part.
Yeah. Well, how are they handling you at the radio station? So Do they keep a governor on you? Or I know we have like Bobby Wilson. When Bobby Wilson comes on, we have to make sure that we have the panic button ready.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. You know, I've been in this business for a while now. The media, I know how, you know, the professional try to keep it as professional as possible. But I will toe the line of controversy just, you know, to get people interested. And I push it as far as I can, but I know that line, and I will stay on the right side. You know, FCC, they're fine and stuff. So I'm well aware of what could happen, and I don't want to jeopardize anything, you know, along with my the coworkers. They trust me. So that's one of the biggest things is that they trust me to stay within the boundaries of good taste, we'll say.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm a former representative of my tribe, and I know that I don't know if the right way to put it is that we were butt end of the jokes, but there's always people coming at us in a good way. Do you talk about your leaders at all up there?
That's pretty much my topics of my podcast. It's just, you know, bringing things to light. You know, people talk about, you know, their issues, and it's coming to a point where people think there will be like retribution or whatever, but we can't worry about that. We need to get these issues out. And if it hurts feelings along the way, you know, that's part of their job, you know, take the criticism. Constructive criticism is what I try to do, but it gets a little, you know, push it a little too far sometimes. So, but they are aware of, you know, my podcast and, you know, what I have to say, but.
Well, I mean, just so you don't start talking about our big belt buckles and our cowboy hats, then I'm okay with it. You can explain that to our audience that a lot of tribal leaders have a certain way to dress.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things. I remember my mom, she used to do a lot of beadwork when I was younger, and she'd make, you know, like the watch bands and the medallions for my uncles and my grandfather and stuff like that, and I belt buckles. And it was coming to a point where I thought that that art was dying. You know, not a lot of our people wore them anymore. Mm-hmm. Belt buckles, I wasn't seeing a lot. Beaded belt buckles is what I wasn't seeing a lot of. But apparently they are they're still there. They're just under a lot of, you know, yeah. Hiding deep within the...
Well. My dad used to call that Dunlap disease, Dunlap over the belt. Yeah. So yeah, they are still around, and then the cowboy hats and things like that that our tribal leaders wear. That's a good one. I don't think they've ever been on a horse, but they look good in the hat.
Yeah, that's none of our council members wear cowboy hats. Ribbon shirts is the big thing. And medallions.
So. Hey, shout out to Sam Strong is all I have to say. He's got always, he always has a good.
I remember one time he was at a council meeting and there was like a big concern, and I brought it up. He came into the council meeting. He didn't have a ribbon shirt on, and we were all, "What's going on? He doesn't have a ribbon shirt on." So I made a big deal out. It was funny, so.
I'm laughing. He was incognito because, yes, yeah, he does like his ribbon shirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool. Also, I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back and talk some more, if you don't mind.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we were Johnny R., the Ojibwe comedian from Red Lake Nation. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-ah.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Portland Trail Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups is among those charged in an illegal poker operation tied to the mafia, while Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier is among several people charged in a separate but related illegal gambling case. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Terry Rozier, right foot discomfort, doubtful to return.
Prosecutors say during this game in March 2023, Rozier, then with the Charlotte Hornets, tipped off bettors that he would fake an injury and come out of the game to enable them to place fraudulent wagers on him underperforming, the winnings totaling more than $200,000.
More than 30 people charged. Based on satellite images, it appears that the entire White House East Wing has now been demolished so President Trump can proceed with building his $300 million ballroom. President Trump says he doesn't know why he pardoned Binance co-founder Jiang Zhiping Zhao today, who pleaded guilty in 2023 to a money laundering charge. This is ABC News.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Will Watson return? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson has been rehabbing after suffering a torn ACL at the end of last season. Will this be the week Watson returns?
My goal and my plan is to play this week. I'd say I could have played last week too, to be honest, but you know, obviously just got to make sure I'm hearing everybody's opinions on everything and just being as smart as possible about it.
The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. NBA, the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 37 points, the most in his career on an opening night, in a 133-120 victory over the Washington Wizards, but guard Kevin Porter Jr. undergoing an MRI for a severely sprained left ankle. How is he doing early in the game?
Just his defensive pressure, couple steals, deflections, and then just his half-court defense, him and our whole group, led to us a ton of runouts. It might have been the most advanced passes we've had.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's been some controversy from people who get their feelings hurt very easily about Bad Bunny playing the Super Bowl halftime show. Shakira has come out and says she is totally in favor of the show and says it's about time they asked him. Shakira performed at the Super Bowl halftime show in 2020 in Spanish, and no one seemed to have an issue with it. The Hips Don't Lie singer says she can't wait to see the show. You gotta love E! News, where you find headlines like Khloe Kardashian shares a surprising update on her sex life. Oh yes, the tea was spilled on the first episode of season 7 of The Kardashians. I've got a lot of catching up to do. Kardashian said during the episode she hasn't had sex in 3 years, but it was also revealed her sister has a new libido gummy line. What a coincidence. I never expected the Kardashians to be hawking a product. I saw this information on Yahoo Entertainment, which labeled the article an 8-minute read. It was about 4 paragraphs. I felt pretty good coming in just under 7.5 minutes. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and frosty tonight with a low in the upper 20s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, warmer day, high in the mid-50s. Some slight rain chances this weekend. A continued warming trend, highs in the upper 50s to maybe 60. Right now it's 38.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will do some recombobulating with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer to kick around all the Wisconsin news. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're here with Johnny R. He's with the Schnapp Squad, and it's first Indigenous act to headline the House of Comedy this Sunday. What time is it, Johnny?
7 o'clock.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, Johnny, I want to ask you a quick question, too. Who do you idolize in comedy? Who's some of your favorite comedians?
Well, when I was younger, it was Eddie Murphy. I don't know why I was listening to Eddie Murphy when I was a kid, but my stepdad, he had a cassette of one of Eddie Murphy's shows. And when my parents would go, you know, wouldn't be home, me and my sisters would listen to that. Now that I'm older, I would not let my kids listen to that. But it was just, you know, getting that response from a huge crowd was what was intriguing to me. So that's one of the things that, that I've always wanted to try, you know, getting that response from a crowd, from my own thoughts or whatever. And nowadays, now that I'm am doing comedy, I know there's I've seen like the behind the scenes, you know, the dark side of comedy with a lot of individuals. So I kind of I'm at a point now where don't meet your heroes. So it's one of those type things. But I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of comedians, and they're good people. But there's a reason that they're doing comedy. You know, they're working things out, their own personal, you know, issues, or some of them demons and stuff like that. But it's really a fine line to walk when you're out with comedians. But the thing about the indigenous community, you know, you hear all the horrible things of mainstream comedy. But in all my 16, going on 17 years of comedy now, working with a lot of the indigenous comedians, it's like a family, like a brotherhood, where everybody's just coming together and looking out for each other. And there's a lot of support, where that's how I got most of my gigs early on. Was a lot of the comedians that I work with, you know, they shared my name, passed it along. And that's how I've been able to keep this going, because, you know, a lot of the people I worked with, you know, kept it professional and are encouraging to other indigenous entertainers. And I think everybody that I've ever worked with, those are the ones, indigenous comedians, the ones that I've worked with are the ones that I'm looking up to right now, even though I like one of the older ones, but still it's really inspiring to see that everybody come together and support each other.
Well, you look good, you know, for being one of the older ones. I know Trish Cook's really come about the last few years, really come on a gangbusters, really kind of out of nowhere, because I don't think Trish was doing comedy 4 years ago.
Yeah, she was. I think she was doing like promoting shows, and it just, I happened to run into her at the House of Comedy. I was doing an open mic there, and she was there. She introduced herself, and, you know, I think she was just about getting started in comedy at the time. And then we'd bump into each other here and there, and then things would come up, and we'd reach out to each other. Oh, you want to come do this? Or she'd call me, you want to come do this? And, yeah, and built up from there. And I've been working with Rob since he started in, I think, 2014. So it's just the community, you know, building each other up and putting each other on. And it's just really inspiring to see everybody come together like that. And, you know, it helps that me, Rob, and Trish are from the Southside Minneapolis projects around that area. Mm-hmm. So, it's pretty cool to be able to come back. Like we did the, what theater is that on the Southside, on Chicago Avenue, I believe that was?
Yeah, I can't think of it. But every time you guys do something there, it's sold out. It's amazing.
Yeah, we sold it out a few times. And it was kind of like a homecoming for us. And that was pretty cool to headline that and sell it out, and just to show that indigenous comedians are capable of selling out venues. So.
Wow, I can't remember what the heck the name of it is. What the heck's wrong with me? I'm getting old. I'm 65 now. What the heck? I drove by just a couple days ago. It has a big film projector out front. The Cedar, right? Is it the Cedar Culture Club?
I can't remember.
Oh, geez. I know. Well, earlier on, you said you had a big family. Are you sure? Do you know how many kids you have?
I have 13 kids.
Yeah. Oh, 13 lucky
kids. I had my first granddaughter in January, so it's the family is expanding as we speak. So
that's awesome. What you know, we were talking a little bit about the tribal leaders and the comedy that they bring, and it's funny too. Love Sam Strong up there, but you're right across from the really thriving business on the reservation, the cannabis place, and they're doing gangbusters up there. And so I was up there with my tribe trying to work out some deals behind the scenes, and it didn't work out. But you know how us legislators and reps are. We're kind of shady.
Yeah. Your words, not mine.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, this isn't your podcast. Wait, this is my radio show. Oh, yeah. So, again, let's talk a little bit. You know, one of the things, this is the first Indigenous ACTA headline, the House of Comedy. We just touched a little bit on that. That's amazing that it's come to this. And, you know, the shows that I've seen with you guys and people are hooting and hollering. It's just a great time, and it's fun, and you can feel the love that you were talking about, where the Indigenous comedians really band together.
Yeah, that's one of the, like, my favorite things about doing comedy shows like that is when we're all, you know, before the show, sitting around visiting, or when somebody's on stage and the rest of us are in the back, just talking shop about, you know, shows and families, and it's just like a family gathering, really, when we're working together like that. It's just really, really inspiring to be around people that understand, you know, what it takes to get to that point, because, you know, this isn't just handed to us, you know, because we've put in a lot of work on the road, and I don't know how many times I've quit comedy because it's so frustrating being on the road. And even though it's just Minneapolis for me, that's still, I get lonesome. My mom calls me a rezzer. I rarely get off the rez because I always get homesick. I've been like that since I was a kid. Like, we do shows in Minneapolis. I'll come right home. You know, four and a half, 5 hour drive, 10 o'clock at night. I'll come right home because it's just, you know, the home is, I can't sleep well if I'm anywhere else. So.
There's a book that came out a couple of years ago, and I believe you were highlighted in it about Indigenous comedians.
Yeah.
And really, I tried to get him on the show, but he was going on vacation to Hawaii or something, and then I kind of forgot about it. But it was really interesting. I really loved his history of the comedians. And again, you were highlighted, and you were talking about this long ride and how much, you know, especially back in 2009 when you weren't, you're just starting, it had to be difficult to take these long rides and think through a 9-minute set or however long set it is, and go through that back, forward, sideways, beat yourself up, like it, you know, all those things that you go through in a long ride after doing something exhilarating like that.
Yeah. When I first started, it was 3-minute sets. So 10, 11 hour round trip drive for 3 minutes. And that was the first few years of trying comedy. And my wife was very supportive of it. And, you know, she knew I had a passion for comedy. So she was, you know, really receptive to me getting out there, getting my name and getting as much stage time as possible. And, you know, without her, I don't think I would never been able to get to this point in comedy, which brought me other ventures that I'm trying now. It's really, the thing about traveling, again, Rezzer, I rarely go anywhere. It gets frustrating when, there are times where, again, I quit so many times because of being on the road, being alone, and, very little money. Cause the first few years I got $0 for that 3 minutes of stage time. It took me a few years to be able to even make gas money. And then on the road like that, I met more comedians. They say, you know, merch comes in handy with gas money or hotel, like these right here. I just come up with stupid ideas and they put them on t-shirts or hoodies, and, you know, they sell, and that's really,
it says a Johnny R berry picking camp. I can't read that.
For kids that can't hunt good.
Yeah, we call them vegans.
Yeah, because, you know, some people aren't allowed around guns, so we got to pick berries and So do our part for the village. You know?
That's right. Hey, talk about your podcast. I'm looking here and it says Tuesday nights at 9:15. Is that still a thing?
That's I've been doing it, getting back to it. I just currently moved into my own suite here at the, they call it the Adawe with Gummig. It's a Four Directions development project that our economic development put together. We have all suites in this this area, this building, where a lot of our tribal members are opening up small businesses. So I finally, took me 19 years to get my own spot where I'm comfortable, where I can record without, you know, my kids running around upstairs. I usually did it in my basement or my garage. Kids run through, with, you know, could see them on, or also peeking at the camera while I'm trying to record. So I finally got my own space here. I'm still trying to put it together. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm sitting on my half fixed chair. I don't have the back yet. So yeah. I'm still trying to find time to put everything together, but I will start probably not tonight, but next week for sure. Every Tuesday night. I know I have guests coming on. I have Heather Keeler is going to be coming on. I had Dallas Goldtooth last week from Reservation Dogs 1491s in his new series, The Last Frontier. And yeah. I'll have Sierra Orneller. I can't remember her name. Sierra Teller Ornelas. She's the showrunner for the Rutherford Falls. And
she
has a couple more. So I'm reaching out to her. She wanted me to reach out to her assistant to set something up. And also native hip-hop artist Night Shield from Rosebud Tribe. He's going to come on. So I do have a list. I just need the time to set up and then get them together. So I think next week, Heather Keeler is going to be one of my first guests. So yeah, the podcast is just me talking more politics a lot lately because, you know, what's going on in the world and how it's affecting the Red Lake Nation.
Yeah.
And like the epidemic that our people are suffering from. And I just want it to be like an encouraging to, because now more than ever, it's like our tribe needs to come together because it's since this second Trump administration, it's going to be a battle for everything that we have, and everybody needs to, whatever, if you're on the road to recovery or you're just beginning, you need, I'm trying to, inspire people to hurry up and get there because we need everybody. We need all hands on deck because we don't know what's going to happen with this administration.
Wow, John, one more time. We got just a minute left here. We're with Johnny R. With the Chenab Squad, the first Indigenous act to headline at the House of Comedy this Sunday, October 26th. This was really fun, and I really appreciate you coming on. Also, 94warriors.com is how people can get in touch with you. This has been a lot of fun for me. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. And I hope everybody can come out and enjoy the show this Sunday at 7 o'clock at the House of Comedy and the Mall of America. So thanks for the time.
Thank you. And we'll have you on again real soon. This has been a lot of fun for me. Great to see you, and I'll see you Sunday. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we got Wendy talking about our sacred animals. We'll be right back after this short break.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
We've all seen the effects of wood smoke pollution this year, so before hosting that backyard bonfire, follow these simple tips to protect yourself, others, and the environment. Remember to give your neighbors a heads up before building a fire so those who find wood smoke bothersome can close their windows. Make sure to never burn wet or recently cut wood, other yard waste, plastic, or garbage. These things can be toxic when burned and create excess smoke. For more tips on how to burn responsibly, visit epa.gov/burnwise.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, celebrates that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. MVAT has empowered Native American communities by bringing friends and families together to talk about important issues and sharing helpful information about how and where to vote. By learning from each other and leaning on trusted relationships, MVAT helps Native communities feel confident in voting and making their choices heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and have a say in the future. MVAT has been helping Native communities across the state for 9 years, creating stronger, more engaged communities every election. Vote together, stand together. Explore a fact sheet that explains some of the elected offices on the ballot and why they matter to you, your family, and your community at MakeVotingATradition.org. That's MakeVotingATradition.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio.
In this portion of the show, we like to support our United States wolves and bear populations. Please say no to the hunts.
And the bear population. Well, you know, my dad used to call me Boo for a boo-boo bear.
Aww.
And so I'd go get some of the picnic baskets. Or wait, that was Yogi. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. And, you know, you've one of the co-founders here 9 years ago of Native Roots Radio. So, hey, welcome back.
I appreciate it. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. And I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. And today we have some bad news.
Oh.
We've got some bad news and good news. So we'll start off with the bad news. So this is from Earth Justice. It's one word, Earth Justice. You can find them on Facebook. They post a lot of really interesting facts about our Earth and justice. So today, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum opened up all 1.5 million acres of Arctic National Wildlife Refuge coastal plain to oil and gas leasing. These lands are sacred to the Gwich'in Nation, home to irreplaceable wildlife, wilderness, and cultural values, and have never been industrialized in this area at all. Earth Justice has long defended the refuge from harmful oil and gas exploitation and development, and will continue to stand against these escalating threats. Quote, today's decision by the Trump administration is irresponsible as a policy matter, a poor economic decision, and flouts laws that protect this irreplaceable landscape, said Earth Justice attorney Eric Graph. So you know what he said, drill baby drill. And this is beautiful, pristine Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. So we'll see what happens. Well, you know, you see what he's doing with the White House. He's destroying that just like he's destroying everything else. All right, so here's a little good news. This was from our friend Alice. I don't know, Alice, if you're listening, thanks. She sends me some, you know, she sends me animal stuff here and there. Yeah, it's kind of nice. So in a I can't talk today. I have like a, what do you have? Like some days you can't talk and other days you could talk. I don't know. Revolutionary leap for sustainable fashion. New Zealand labs are growing wool-free fleece using yeast spun keratin, the same protein that makes up sheep's wool. The high-tech innovation produces soft, warm, and luxurious fibers without even touching a single sheep, sparing millions of sheep from the stress of endless shearing cycles. So
that's hard to say.
That was all really hard to say. Wow. I just, everything's hard for me to say. So excuse me. But here's my 2 cents. So people are like, well, it's okay. What do? They just shear the sheep. Now, listen, if you go to a local farm where they're shearing their own sheep, they have 10 of them and they're taking their time and they love the animals and they're spinning their own wool and they're making their own sweaters, that's fine. But 100% of the wool that you buy in the store, go to the store today and buy whatever wool that you want. If it's not made by a person's hands, it's industrial scale wool production. And it's anything but gentle. Sheep are treated like raw material, not living beings. In massive shearing sheds, workers are paid by speed, not care, which means animals are held down roughly, cut open by the clippers, kicked, dragged, and left bleeding just so the fleece can be ripped off as fast as possible. There is no kind or cozy version of this at industrial volume. It's a system built on cheap clothing and profit, not welfare. What we see in stores as a soft wool sweater is the sanitized end of an industry that treats sentient animals like disposable machines the moment they stop being profitable. So there you go. If you want to buy a sweater that's made of wool, get it from somebody who's making it, you know, from the wool that they harvested. I don't do wool. I'm vegan. I don't do wool. I don't do leather. I don't do any animal products. I try my best to live a life like that. And it just helps my mind.
Yeah, especially
it helps
in these
my
times.
Soul, and that's all I can do. So the article went on to say, this is the science part of it. The yeast-based process works in bioreactors, spinning keratin into fibers that could be woven or knitted into jackets, coats, and blankets. These fibers mimic the texture, insulation, and resilience of traditional wool, making them indistinguishable from natural fleece while dramatically reducing the environmental footprint. Beyond animal welfare, the technology cuts greenhouse gas emissions, water usage, and land degradation typically associated with sheep farming. Fashion brands can now offer cruelty-free, high-performance fleece products that align with climate-conscious consumer demands. So for New Zealand, a country synonymous with sheep and wool, this breakthrough represents a fusion of tradition and biotech ingenuity. It promises a future where luxury clothing does not require animal exploitation, and where millions of sheep can live freely unharmed in open pastures. This yeast spun keratin fleece is entering early stage production, with luxury brands already testing prototypes. If scaled, it could redefine the global fleece industry, merging sustainability, ethics, and performance into one remarkable fiber.
You know, and I bet you it's cheaper too.
It might be. It might be.
I'm sure it is.
I mean,
fleeces.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to have to, you know, figure this out. And that's something that I would buy. I don't do wool, you know. Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
You know Morgan Freeman?
Yes, I do.
Awesome guy. I haven't seen one of his movies in a while, but he donates $11 million to build a sanctuary for stray dogs. Hollywood legend Morgan Freeman has pledged $11 million to create a state-of-the-art sanctuary for stray and abandoned dogs. It will provide shelter, medical care, and adoption services, includes open play areas, rehabilitation programs, and lifelong care for unadoptable pets.
That's our jam.
I think I didn't talk a lot today. That's my problem. Like, I was stayed really quiet today. So this is the first time I'm talking. So I didn't have a lot of practice today.
I talked to, I did a pre-record with State Representative Keeler, and I'm right with, Kunish, and I'm right with you on that. Oh my gosh.
I know. Crazy. Sorry. It's contagious.
It's hard to have a radio show and not be able to talk. In my case, not be able to read. But we do it here.
I have
at
both
Native
of those
Radio.
Today. So Morgan Freeman, he aims to reduce stray populations while giving every dog a safe home. A true voice of kindness, both on.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chris Mays of Clearly Confused Entertainment, and it's a Bar Band Friday night featuring Terry Barr's Max Inc. radio co-host, Rocker. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Let's go.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The entire White House East Wing has now been demolished so President Trump can proceed with building a ballroom.
Where the East Wing of the White House once stood, now just a pile of rubble, demolished to make way for President Trump's ballroom, which Trump once said would cost $250 million and now says will run some $300 million.
ABC's Mary Bruce. More than 30 people facing charges, including NBA Portland coach Chauncey Phillips and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier, as part of two investigations into sports betting, leaked insider information, faked injuries, and rigged poker games. President Trump pardoning the founder of Binance, the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the world, Changpeng Zhao, convicted during a crackdown on crypto.